Obviously, you made a lot of waves yesterday with the Matthew Tkachuk story. I just have to ask you this question right away. How long before Matthew Tkachuk is traded to the Vegas Golden Knights, Eric?
Yeah, it seems to me like just starting to look around. Obviously, Vegas is the first guy anybody wants to trade someone to. And I can almost picture the owner, Bill Foley, in Vegas calling his GM going, "Did you see this? Did you see this story out of Calgary? Apparently, Matthew Tkachuk is available. Get on that, boys. Get on that. We need some new blood in here. He's a star." And them or St. Louis are going to top the list of potential places, even though it's hard to fathom how you shoehorn Matthew Tkachuk in to Vegas. But you know what? Guys, you look around the league and you go, well, there aren't a whole lot of places you can shoehorn a guy like Matthew Tkachuk in, because he's going to cost you $9 or $10 million this year and beyond. But for Matthew Tkachuk, to me, you open that space. This is a unicorn in the National Hockey League. I've always said that about him. I defy you guys to show me a player who has anywhere close to the toolbox this guy has. I mean, Brad Marchand's about the closest I can come up with. But this guy can turn a game with his mouth, with a hit, with a pass, with a goal, with a body check, with a fight. Like, this guy does it all. And he'll wear a C in the National Hockey League for a lot of years. So I think a lot of teams are looking at it going, we're not sure how we can do this, but we got to take a run at trying to get Matthew Tkachuk right now.
Yeah, and Eric, the way you kind of look at this, like, I know hindsight's always 20/20, and I don't think that there was an expectation, at least probably from the Flames, that they were going to lose both of these guys. Is this process now expedited to move him just because they can't have another situation like Johnny Gaudreau where he walks for nothing? And I understand why they kept him. Listen, they weren't going to be trading Johnny Gaudreau at the trade deadline. I understand that. And they took a risk. But this is one of those where they can see into the future a little bit here, and they've been hamstrung. They have no choice but to move another star.
Well, there's also a long history in Calgary of losing the top player in the franchise or one of the top players and getting nothing in return. Mark Giordano last year, he was the damn captain and the heart and soul of this franchise. They lost him for nothing to Seattle in the expansion draft. TJ Brody, I know he's not an impact player, but he was a number two defenseman in Calgary. He walked for nothing. Travis Hamonic before that. Jerome McGinley was basically given away for nothing at the deadline. So Mika Kiprusoff, I can go on, but the point is, enough is enough, and they've learned from their past mistakes. And I don't think it was a mistake to keep Johnny Gaudreau. They tried to trade him last summer. He was worth pennies on the dollar. Nobody wanted him around the National Hockey League, and nor was there any appetite to sign him for big, big money, nor did he want to sign for a reduced salary. So they got to the situation they were at. Gaudreau, the mistake there was that Gaudreau didn't tell them 2 months earlier that he didn't want to come back. And there's where we get to Matthew Tkachuk. He is doing it the right way. I think the Flames did turn to Matthew Tkachuk and said, okay, we just lost Johnny Gaudreau. We've been dickering around. We're trying to get a contract done with you for the last 2 months. We need to know right now, are you in or are you out? Because if you're only signing a one-year qualifying offer, that's not acceptable for us. We have to get something for you. So is this the end of the road? And my belief from all I've seen and heard and and surmised from this arbitration move the Flames have made is that that conversation's already been had. And it's my belief that the group representing Tkachuk and the Calgary Flames are working closely together to find him a landing spot where not only will he sign for 1 year, because that won't get you much in a return, they want a place where he's going to sign for this 1 year and an 8-year extension soon thereafter. That's the goal, and that's what I think you're going to see pretty soon.
Eric Francis, senior columnist for Sportsnet.ca, joining us here, Sportsnet Today, George and Matt, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. All right, Eric, please just put some, water onto this fire. There's no way the Maple Leafs are trading for Matthew Tkachuk, right? He doesn't want to play in Toronto or in Canada, right? Or would the Maple Leafs maybe be the exception?
They might be the exception because him and Austin Matthews are good buds, right? I mean, they go back quite a ways. So that may be the exception, but you want me to pour cold water on one rumor, but I'm going to throw another one out there that might heat up your discussion later today. Austin Matthews is going to be in this exact same position as Matthew Tkachuk next summer, guys. I know nobody wants to think about it. Nobody wants to talk about it. But I'd be willing to bet you guys a sizable amount of money Austin Matthews is not re-signing with the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's going stateside like Johnny Gaudreau, like Matthew Tkachuk, like other guys around the league. And I may be wrong on this because I'm not tight with Austin Matthews, but I see that he's very similar in Gaudreau and Tkachuk to me, and he's going to want to go down to the States. Warmer weather, closer to friends, no more border. The COVID border issue was a big issue with a lot of players. I think he's going to want to go where there's more exposure, where he can make a bigger impact on the game as an American. I think, and don't forget, guys, after next season, he goes into his final year with a no-movement clause, no trade clause. So the Leafs are going to probably want to find out before next season starts if Matthews is interested in signing a long-term extension. And if he's not, the Leafs may be in the exact same position as the Calgary Flames right now. Now, the Leafs, because they're so damn good and so damn close in so many people's eyes, they may be willing to play the final year of Austin Matthews' contract with him, you know, clearly walking to free agency and getting nothing for him. They may be willing to do that. But that's going to be a huge discussion on your airwaves for a long, long time, and I might as well start it right now for you.
Okay, Eric, thank you for that, because you just gave us a whole day's worth of content here on the radio station. Get ready to be bombarded by Leafs Nation. I'm just going to apologize to you on behalf of the radio station now, because you know what's coming, because we got to send out that clip, and people are going to react to it. I have to ask you the follow-up, though. Have you heard anything from sources in around that potentially would be, or is this a total hunch on your part?
No, there's a hunch. Please, I don't want to mischaracterize it like I'm hearing around the league that this is the... I've been predicting in this market that Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk would leave. I've been predicting it for years. And I took a lot of heat for it, as you just suggested. I'm going to take a lot of heat in Toronto for saying what I just said. But the reality is clear. I just wrote a piece on sportsnet.ca about this trend of American players not wanting to stay in Canada. And COVID didn't help that situation moving forward. These guys were isolated and away from their families for the better part of a year and a half. And I think that made a lot of people realize, you know what, what's most important in life is being close to family and friends. And I just don't think that's going to help when it comes time for Austin Matthews. I mean, someone's going to ask Austin Matthews that question when he gets to camp this year, because they've got to start maybe thinking about this sort of stuff. Now, I'm not suggesting he's going to answer it, and nor should he answer it to... especially if he's planning on leaving, he's got to say all the right things and say that he'd love to, he'd be open to the possibility of staying. But we heard that a lot from Johnny Gaudreau. We heard that a lot from Matthew Tkachuk. I don't blame a player for leaving that door open and saying they want to come back. And at the end, who can fault a guy at the very end of the day for saying, it's a family decision and I need to be closer to my family. Like, it's hard to blame anyone. Now, Johnny Gaudreau tried to do that, but his problem, where he erred, was handcuffing the organization till the very last minute and deceiving them into believing they had a deal like hours before the deadline and then doing an about face. That's where his legacy was tarnished. Matthews hopefully will learn from it. I know Matthew Tkachuk certainly learned from it.
Real quick, one more, Eric, on this whole Austin Matthews thing, because this is something I've been talking about for the last few months now, that Kyle Dubas should have signed this guy to an 8-year deal to begin with. Clearly him and his representation didn't want to do that because he potentially wanted to test free agency here. I don't think this is hyperbole, Eric. If Austin Matthews is a free agent, he's the most sought after free agent, unrestricted free agent in the history of the league, right?
Well, he just won the Hart Trophy. I guess it's pretty hard to argue with that sort of, yes, I mean, with the size and speed, like everything he brings. I mean, he was the world's greatest hockey player this year, and I see no reason why he won't be in that conversation again next year. I mean, Johnny Gaudreau, to me, was considered to be one of the greatest UFA. He finished fourth in Hart Trophy voting this year. He was out there, and I think a lot of teams would have wanted him. But, hey, Austin Matthews brings so much more, and I'll add to that. I don't think there's any question around people around the hockey league. Matthew Tkachuk is a far bigger catch than Johnny Gaudreau is on the open market. So I think he'll go for there'd be even more interest in him as a UFA if it ever gets to that. But I'm telling you, the Flames won't let it get to that.
I'm still recovering from this Austin Matthews thing. let's talk about Johnny Gaudreau for a second, and just that whole situation and what we're seeing, you know, going forward. You know, he talked about in his Players Tribune article how much he loved Calgary and that him and his wife felt that it was just very hard for them to continue being in Calgary for an extended period of time, being away from family when they're starting a family of their own. I think if there's any hatred towards Johnny Gaudreau, I really have a problem with that, because for me personally, like I was living like 35 minutes away from my family and my in-laws, and we don't have a child yet. It's on the way. But I needed to move a little bit closer to get to my family because 35 minutes felt like miles away. And I understand professional athletes know what they're doing and what they're getting themselves into. But is anybody really going to fault Johnny Gaudreau for making a decision like that? Like, have you seen a lot of vitriol from Flames fans about him making that decision? Because if I'm him, if the money's the same, I probably want to be a little bit closer to home with a young family too. And I think a lot of people, fans especially, they forget the human element of all this. And that's why I agree with you that I think this is going to happen more often, because the younger players are when they hit free agency, they have younger families, and these are the decisions that they want to make because they need that in their life.
The vitriol that you're seeing in Calgary, hey, it went from sadness and frustration that he made the decision that he made to, you know, fury and vitriol because of the way he did it. It's out there now that the Flames thought they had a deal like mere hours before the deadline. This guy bargained with them right up to the 11th hour and made it clear that he wanted to come back to Calgary. And hey, it's his right to do an about face and turn down the Calgary Flames, but to do it at the last minute, I really feel like he owed the organization better than that. He owed the city and the fans better than that, because for 2 months, they've been completely hamstrung. They couldn't do anything at the draft. They couldn't sign Matthew Tkachuk. They couldn't sign anybody because they needed to know what Johnny Gaudreau was going to cost and what that sort of contract looked like. And they really believed they were going to get a deal done. So, but as for making a decision to leave for family reasons, like I said, you play that trump card all day long, and no one can fault you for it. If you're going to fault someone for that, then you're not a human being. People want to be close to family. Like I said, COVID had a lot to do with that and made it even more important to people. So the younger player, guys, Matthew Tkachuk is 24 years old. Gone are the days, guys, where you had to be 27, 28, 29 to hit unrestricted free agency. This guy's 24 and essentially has forced unrestricted free agency. He's triggered it basically a year early. Because he's forcing the Calgary Flames' hand. So I think the big thing on all this, to sway it a little bit differently, I think Canadian GMs are going to start thinking twice about drafting American players high up, especially. Calgary Flames drafted Adam Fox, too. This guy won a Norris Trophy, and he made it clear to them, you know, a year after they acquired him at the draft, he was never going to play anywhere but New York. That really is – that sticks. So that's three guys, Gaudreau, Tkachuk, and Adam Fox, three big impact players in the NHL who all have turned their back on Calgary, basically because it's not in the U.S. And, hey, I get it, too. Warmer in the U.S., better tax situations in most cities. The lifestyle's better, quite frankly. I love my city. I love Toronto. But the lifestyle's better when I'm wearing flip-flops every day of the year. So I could go on and on. But no one faults a guy for wanting to go stateside. Just handle it professionally like Tkachuk is doing.
Yeah, and we always forget about the Adam Fox thing too, because Adam Fox would look good on that blue line right now. So now with this situation in hand, what is the fan base's take on Brad Treliving? Because I mentioned this with George in the first block. It's not as if Brad Treliving didn't do his due diligence. It's not as if Brad Treliving did not put in the work. He was hamstrung by, frankly, where the team that he is the GM of is located. And is that something that the fan base is looking at and kind of giving him a pass on? Or are they still going hard at him? Because, we've seen Brad Treliving make bold moves. I don't anticipate that after he deals Matthew Tkachuk, if that's in fact what happens, that he's going to be done. I think that Brad Treliving is going to use pieces because they have good depth. They have a good blue line. Whatever they get from Matthew Tkachuk, they're going to get a tangible NHL player in return from wherever they trade him to. And I think that he's going to be active in trying to make this team a contender again. But does the fan base give him a pass for that?
It's a mixed bag. I mean, you know, there are always going to be critics. And you got to remember, guys, like, there's so much frustration and sadness and anger and a million emotions going on in this city right now because they just lost 2/3 of the best line in hockey within a matter of probably weeks. And it's a shock to the system. Even though I've been trying to tell people this was going to happen, it's still, once it happens, even I can't believe it's actually happening. So people are furious at Treliving. They're furious at ownership. People point the finger all different ways. But I will tell you, to your point, Brad Treliving isn't the guy who should be in the line of fire here. you know, yeah, in hindsight, it would have been great had he signed Johnny Gaudreau to a longer contract. But you don't think Toronto fans are going to be saying the same thing about Kyle Dubas next year when I talk about this Matthews situation? They're going to blame him for not signing Austin Matthews to a longer deal. Well, guess what? He didn't have enough leverage. Neither did the Calgary Flames to give this guy a longer deal. The player's holding most of the hammer because he's so damn good. So Brad Treliving has done a fine job here. It's not without warts, for sure, like any GM. But I think that if the Calgary Flames handle this correctly, there's no chance to me that there's going to be a rebuild here right now. To me, you've got $20 million, $21 million in cap space that you had earmarked for these two guys. Okay, they're gone. That wasn't your first choice, but what can you do? You live in Canada. So now you got $21 million you didn't think you were going to have. You're going to take on some salary, of course, when you trade Matthew Tkachuk, but you also have some salary left. And, hey, Nazem Kadri is still out there. I don't know if he wants to come to Calgary, but I know the Flames are sniffing around on him. Suddenly you had Kadri. You had a top six player that you're going to get back for Tkachuk. This team has just got a real good top six then, and they already have good D and one of the best goalies. So I'm rambling on and on, but the point is Treliving's done a pretty good job. A lot of people give him a lot of credit for that. Yeah, people are frustrated, but he doesn't deserve it right now.
Eric, I know it's always hindsight, but with the Johnny Gaudreau situation, why didn't they try him? I know they wanted to win the Stanley Cup, and they made moves to win the Stanley Cup. But if they didn't have the assurance that guy was going to sign long term, why wasn't he traded at the deadline? He was already playing incredible hockey.
Come on.
No. But this is what I'm asking you. I know you're saying come on, and obviously it's hindsight. But were they assured that this guy? No, he's probably going to stay. Like, there's a better than 50-50 chance he's going to stay with us in Calgary. We can't trade him at the deadline. It's just then you have this situation. The Islanders went through the same thing with John Tavares. Like. I just don't know how you handle that asset and how that's asset management. I know it's a come on. They were one of the best teams in the NHL. I don't know what the answer is, but were they sure he was going to stay? Like, did they have an inkling that he's probably going to stay? That's why we got to hang on to him, because you said his value was really low last summer. Certainly wasn't the case at the deadline.
Yeah, but I mean, you talk about criticism that the GM's facing. Go ahead and take a team that's leading the Pacific Division. I think they finished sixth in the NHL this year, seventh. They were legitimately considered a Stanley Cup contender this year because of their size, their coach, their depth. They had the top line in hockey, no question about it. You can't trade that guy at the deadline. Are you kidding me? They'll burn the Saddle Dome down, which actually might do them a favor.
Yeah,
but
probably.
At this point,
probably the best thing, actually.
And the other thing is Johnny Gaudreau said to them, hey, guys, we're not going to be able to come to terms on a deal. You know, Johnny knew he was probably going to walk. I mean, I think he's known that for years. At the end, it was a tough decision because it's a tight-knit group, and they were a damn good team. And there were a lot of reasons why he really did want to stay, I'm sure. But you can't trade a guy at the trade deadline when you're a legitimate cup contender. No GM in his right mind would ever do that in the name of asset management. No, I appreciate that. And, hey, there are people in Calgary who are saying that. I think that's ridiculous. Like, that's absolutely nonsensical. Like, you know, you can't do that.
And now I'm asking you that because of the trade deadline in 2024 with all the Austin Matthews stuff you were just talking about.
Seriously, and I was going to say that, but I don't want to keep hammering down on that one because I'm probably angering people in Toronto even more. But you're going to tell me that the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are clearly going to be a contender for the next 2 years, you're going to trade Austin Matthews at the trade deadline while you're a team that's right there in the mix? Like, they would just burn the building down. It would be a lot worse than that in Toronto. So, and rightfully so. So that's why I say, I think when we're in this position and we talk next year at this time, guys, I'm not going to say I told you so, but I'm going to say, hey, if I was the first one to warn you about this, I'm sorry about that. But that decision has to be made theoretically, you know, right then. Otherwise, the Leafs are just going to walk and watch into unrestricted free agency. And that's a nightmare. And in case you're wondering, like, what if you go the whole year for a guy like Johnny Gaudreau, and then weeks before his contract expires, you trade his negotiating rights? Well, my belief is, because asking guys around the league, you might have got a fourth rounder for Johnny Gaudreau at best, because he had a five-team no-trade clause. Matthews has an ironclad, I cannot be traded unless I give permission, which means they'll get nothing for him. So they got to decide before the season starts, are they all in and probably going to lose him, or are they going to deal him early?
Okay, one quick one because we got about a minute or so left. Does Nazem Kadri or even a guy like John Klingberg now move to the top of the list with the cap space that they have? Because if you want, you know, you can move some young defensemen and try and round out a little bit of your forward depth if you bring in a guy like Klingberg. And you know, Nazem Kadri does a pretty good job of wrapping up that second line center role. Do you envision either of those two guys as being targets for the Flames with all this cap space, or are they going to maybe try and go the trade route after Matthew Tkachuk is eventually dealt?
I think all options are on the table right now. When you're about to make a trade as big as this Matthew Tkachuk one is, there are a lot of moving parts. Like, they may want to try and mix in a Milan Lucic contract to get rid of that excess if they're the Calgary Flames as part of a deal. There's a million different ways they can go, but yeah, Klingberg would be high on, I think, every team's list. I know the Flames have talked to Kadri extensively, and but I also know that they're not willing to pay the $8 million-ish, you know, kind of that Kadri is hoping to get on the open market. If his price tag comes down, I think the Calgary Flames are very much in the mix, but if his price tag comes down significantly, I also think Colorado's in the mix, and I know who I would choose if I had the choice between Colorado and the Calgary Flames. And don't forget, Kadri already turned down a trade to the Calgary Flames a couple years ago. And he later explained that it had nothing to do with the city. It was just that he didn't want to get traded by the Leafs. Well, he ended up getting traded to the Leafs and ended up being the best thing that ever happened to him. But, you know, so Kadri, Klingberg, I think a lot of these guys that are out there, those are the two biggest names for sure. And absolutely the Calgary Flames would have interest in those two guys.
Eric Francis, senior columnist for Sportsnet.ca. You're the content coordinator, not only yesterday, but today. thanks for this during this slow week. Thanks, pal.
Toronto, my apologies.